Let's turn to that Psalm, Psalm 121. Psalm 121. This particular psalm is part of a group of 15 psalms known as the Psalms of Ascent. They begin at Psalm 120 and they stretch through Psalm 134. Some are linked to David, others are not. But all of them were sung or chanted, in all likelihood anyway, by Hebrew pilgrims as they journeyed to and from Jerusalem for the yearly festivals. And this particular psalm is perhaps the best known of the group. Psalm 121, a song of ascents. Hear God's word. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. As far as the reading of God's word. But I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we're going to be looking at this psalm in detail throughout the message tonight. Beloved congregation of Jesus Christ, I'm sure many of you remember the TV show Candid Camera. Of course, on that show there would be hidden cameras that would catch the reactions of unsuspecting people in unusual situations. Well, it's almost 2017, and whether we like it or not, whether we realize it or not, if you're out and about, it's almost certain that you're being watched. You're being watched. There are cameras at intersections, cameras at ATMs, cameras on bridges. I saw a camera on the bridge of the guide over the Nooksack River. There are cameras in parking lots, border crossings, airports, retail shops, grocery stores, businesses like gas stations. There are traffic cams. There are surveillance and security cams and cameras on police cars. For better or for worse, Big Brother and many others are watching us almost all of the time. Well, here in Psalm 121, we're reminded that, in fact, there is another set of eyes on each and every believer. Set of eyes constantly watching. Watching every pilgrim as we journey our way through life toward the heavenly Jerusalem. In fact, five different times in this psalm, we find the name Yahweh, or translated the Lord. And five different times, we find the Hebrew word for keeping or for watching. And this word is used to describe Yahweh's activity. The Lord God is watching. The Lord God is ever keeping His people. And as you read through this psalm, you find actually two distinct voices. These voices together testify to this sovereign, loving, and watchful care our Lord God. And so we're going to be looking at those two voices tonight, and they'll be the two points of this message. And the first voice is an apprehensive or anxious voice. An apprehensive or anxious voice. Notice what we read here in verse 1 of Psalm 121. The psalmist writes, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. So here we have a very simple question, a question about help, a question about a helper. And yet there's much behind this particular question and what might have sparked it. And notice first that this first voice speaks in the first person. It speaks with I and in my. Well, the second voice that picks up in verses 3 and following is a voice of reply. It's a response to this question. And so these two voices originate near one another, as though the two were walking together. And it's even possible that these two voices are the inner voices of a single individual, someone whose thoughts are going back and forth during a stressful or fearful time. But again, in the context of this group of psalms titled a psalm or Psalms of Ascent, this is in all likelihood focused in on these pilgrims as they make their journey. And so it's a picture of Hebrew families and friends and neighbors making the long journey from their homes up to Jerusalem. And for some of these, that journey might have lasted or stretched hundreds of miles. And some of those miles were certainly walked or trekked through deserts, mountainous terrain, uninhabited wilderness. And so here is a pilgrim looking up at some distant mountains, beyond which lies his destination, beyond which lies Jerusalem, the holy city, with its magnificent temple and a host of fellow believers who gather there to worship the Lord together. And that's his objective. And yet between himself and that holy city of Zion stretches this long and difficult road. And his question here and his concerns noted in this first verse of this psalm are those of a young and inexperienced traveler. A traveler who's perhaps heard stories of long days of hot and weary travel. Something noted perhaps in verse 6. Perhaps he's heard tales of wild animals stalking and stealing into camp at night. Again, verse 6. Stories of travelers lost to landslides, missteps on narrow paths. Something alluded to perhaps in verse 3. And also of murders and marauding bandits, ambushing pilgrims high up in these rocky hills and mountains. Remember, even in Jesus' day, under strong Roman rule, folks were robbed and murdered while traveling Palestine's roads and paths. As we see with the prodigal of the parable of the Good Samaritan. And Paul also notes the dangers of bandits as he traveled around the Roman Empire. Now it's difficult for us to relate to that, since we can just climb into a car and safely drive up and down our streets comfortably, or hop a plane and fly many miles to some distant and exotic destination. But for these ancient pilgrims, that journey to Jerusalem was often difficult. It was dangerous and taxing. There were risks involved. And sure, there were good times along the way, but hardships and troubles as well, weariness and the unknown. And so, like Israel's wilderness wanderings during that 40 years following the Exodus, these journeys, these pilgrimages to Jerusalem, also came to symbolize the believer's pilgrimage through life onto glory, onto the heavenly Zion. For our lives, too, are marked by joys and troubles, marked by times of wonder, but also of weariness, times of delight, in times of loss and pain. And so here we have this pilgrim looking off into the distance and wondering. He asks, from where does my help come? From where does my help come? It's a good question. It's a wise question. It shows that he knows he needs help. He needs a mighty ally. His voice perhaps trembles with a bit of fear and doubt, questions and concerns. You ever find yourself with your question, with that question on your own lips or in your thoughts? Especially during life's troubles, griefs and losses, pains, uncertainties, changes. Times when you find yourself asking, from where will my help come? Who's going to help me? Who is able to help me? Think of having to start a new career in a new place, or having to retire, or losing a loved one. Think of times of a health crisis or a family crisis, or downsizing from a house that's been your home for decades, or having to go to a new school, or moving away for college, or adjusting to the blues and quietness of the empty nest. All times of unsettledness, questions and uncertainties. Or think about the slow but steady loss of independence due to age or disability. Any of these can quickly grow into hills and mountains that rise before our eyes as we journey through life. So we don't need to be new to the faith to find ourselves wondering about the source and sufficiency of our help. But notice, though, this fearful pilgrim's quick reply to his own question. Again, beginning in verse 1, he says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Beautiful profession of faith, isn't it? Pilgrim uses God's covenantal name here. He adds a title to it, the Lord Yahweh, maker of heaven and earth. This precise language is in fact used in four other psalms by the people of God as a profession of faith and identity. And it's a phrase that should be very familiar to worshipers in our Reformed tradition, since we use it at the beginning of each worship service. It's an invocation or a votum. Just before the Lord's greeting, URC pastors and several other continental Reformed denominations say, our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And that statement identifies our God, doesn't it? And it also identifies our identity with Him and in Him and why we've gathered to worship. And perhaps this pilgrim had heard this phrase many times in worship as well. And it comes to his mind and comes from his mouth in this time of anxiousness and fear. And so, boys and girls, young people, memorize as much scripture as you can. It's a treasury of stored wealth. It's a reservoir of blessing from which to draw upon in times of trouble and fear and crisis. Make sure your well is deep. That's a challenge to parents, too, to help your children to memorize Scripture. It's one of the most loving things you can do for them. Well, these beautiful words were seemingly spoken by a faltering and apprehensive voice. And this novice pilgrim finds strength in the fact that his God is in fact Creator God. And so all the troubles and terrors of his world and of his journey are minor. They're minuscule before him. In other words, if this Almighty God is for us, who can be against us? Who indeed? Lord God is our almighty and sovereign helper. Remember that when you hear your own voice shaking or anxious or filled with emotion. Remember that. But remember more than that. For this God, our God, is more to us than our Maker, isn't He? And that brings us then to the second voice. And the second voice here in this psalm is a steady and reassuring voice, a steady and reassuring voice. Beginning in verse 3 of this psalm of ascent, Psalm 121. The psalmist says, He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Confident word, confident and believing words. It's the voice of an old pro, spiritually speaking. Someone who's gone on many of these pilgrimages. Someone who's journeyed this route to Jerusalem many times. He's speaking from experience. Spiritually speaking, he's an old timer. He's walked with the Lord for many years. And apparently he's come alongside this pilgrim who's just starting out, this pilgrim who is anxious. So he's a mentor of sorts, if only for a few moments. Again, boys and girls, young people, young adults, you have someone you can call alongside of you when you have spiritual questions or concerns. Perhaps you're struggling with some problem or some particular sin. Maybe it's a doubt, a fear, some uncertainty. Are you comfortable enough to open up to your parents? Dad and Mom, are you there for them? Are you ready and willing to come alongside and give them a listening ear? Do you have the time and patience to really listen and respond? Young Christians especially need someone or several someones when they're going through rough times. Someones who are mature in the faith, who are ready resources of wisdom, knowledge, experience, and encouragement. Young people, young adults, again, challenge you to look to perhaps a godly grandparent or teacher or pastor or council member. Someone we should be thinking about when you have these questions, and someone you can go to who will listen and encourage you. You really need that. We all need that, don't we? To come alongside one another as we journey through life. Well, this veteran pilgrim picks up where his spiritually younger companion leaves off. He's picking up on that pilgrim's profession of faith, and he's expanding on it, isn't he? Yes, our helper is Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth. And so, he's a helper who's ever watching and keeping. He's a helper who's constantly protecting us and providing for us and caring for us. So notice here, first of all, this help is personal. It's intimate. It's individually tailored. Again, verse 3, He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Rocky paths, steep slopes, narrow passes. places used by bandits and snakes and scorpions. Through all these, this steady and reassuring voice reminds this younger pilgrim that the Lord was watching, that he's directing and protecting his people. That in fact, our every footfall, our every step through life is under his loving and watchful care. Think back throughout your life. Think back to where your feet have carried you since your first wobbly baby steps. Think about those slippery and dangerous places where your feet have carried you. Remember, we use our feet to drive. We use them to pedal, to skate, to ski, to hike, to run, to climb, to jump. And our divine watcher saw our every movement. He providentially permitted every step. And that includes steps that you've made in the wrong direction, when your feet were in places forbidden by God. And yet, even in those dark and dangerous places, the Lord was present. Present in His mercy and in His watchful care. Take some time to trace the route your feet have taken, and be sure to thank your keeper for his gracious attentiveness. Well, this steady and reassuring voice has more to say about the watcher. Again, picking up at verse 3. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. So here this second voice reminds the first that not only is the Lord near, that He's nearer even than your shadow, but that He's always alert, that He's always attentive, whether it's night or day. Of every second, of every hour of your life, He is watching. He is keeping you. He doesn't fatigue. He doesn't take breaks. He doesn't punch in and out. No, He provides shade in the sizzling heat of day and a shield during the dark of night. Perhaps this experienced pilgrim had the pillar of cloud and fire in mind here, where the Lord went ahead and behind His people Israel during those 40 years of wilderness wandering following their exodus. His presence guiding and protecting Israel day and night. And here we find the psalmist using the sun and the moon to represent the greatest threats to us, whether they come by day or come by night. Whatever they may be, you can and must know that our watcher, our keeper, is more than able to shield and protect us, to keep us from all lasting, everlasting harm. Verses 5 and 6 again, the Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade at your right hand, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. For these ancient pilgrims, the desert sun was a real danger. Its blistering rays could quickly sap away the strength of both man and beast alike. Heat exhaustion, heat stroke, these were real threats. Think of Jonah and his misery there outside of Nineveh as the sun baked him. And so for desert travelers, there was no better way of portraying the Lord's watchful care than to describe it as shade. And as for needing protection at night, protection from the moon, many ancient cultures believed that the beams of the moon could actually cause madness. And even our English words, lunacy and lunatic, are derived from the Latin word for moon. But here in Psalm 121, the moon is simply symbolizing the dangers of the night. And of course, there were and there remain many. Brutal bandits, the cold, nocturnal predators, accidents, and the dragons that frequently infest our thoughts, and especially our dreams, robbing us of sleep and stealing away our peace. Do you ever have these sorts of dragon encounters? And so for desert travelers, these words are wonderfully comforting. For you and for me, they're wonderfully comforting. And of course, the Lord here isn't promising a trouble-free life. He isn't promising us a life free of difficulty and pain. He is promising that we'll have the resources and spiritual weaponry to persevere, to endure and to overcome in His strength. And so we can resist the roaring lion. We can say, away you go, dragon. Away you go. God's promising His peace and presence to us, and that He will work all things together for our good. He's promising that no real and lasting harm will come to His people. Beginning in verse 7, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So here at the end of the psalm, this steady and reassuring voice has taken on a priestly tone. His words carry the savor of the Aaronic blessing. It's found in Numbers chapter 6. The familiar words, the Lord bless you and keep you. Keep you with watchful care, sovereign care. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Again, verse 8, the Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. And so the Lord's watching and keeping and caring is without limitation. It's truly cradle to grave coverage. It's not only including our daily routines and activities, but it encompasses every moment from our earthly arrival to our earthly departure, from conception to our final breath. The watcher will accompany His people to their first footfall, to the very gates of the heavenly Jerusalem, and of course beyond, as we enter and walk with Him into eternity itself, into our everlasting inheritance. And this last verse also sounds similar to our great high priest's benediction, where the risen Jesus says, surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Surely I am with you always, even unto the very end of the age. Matthew 28. You see, this steady and reassuring voice is in fact the voice of our risen and victorious Lord Jesus. It's the voice of our elder brother, our almighty brother, our fellow pilgrim, our trailblazer, our Savior, our Lord. He's assuring us that He's made the way safe to the heavenly Jerusalem, and that it's through Him that we enjoy the Father's watchful care. Jesus has opened the path to glory. He's opened the path to the celestial city. He's led the way. He walks beside His people, all the way. He walks beside us all the way. You know, each year, millions of Pacific salmon begin a long journey. Their distant destination is the freshwater spawning ground where they were born, like our own local Nooksack River. And they have many obstacles and dangers to overcome. Out in the ocean, it's sharks and seals and orca. It's commercial and sport fishermen. The rivers, it's bears and eagles, powerful currents and waterfalls. In fact, the percentage of salmon that make it all the way back to spawn is small, and in some cases as little as 1%. A tiny number out of the whole make it to their destination. How different it is for God's chosen people journeying to the heavenly Jerusalem. And though we also face many obstacles, many dangers, yet every single last one who has genuine faith in Jesus reaches their destination. 100%. None will be lost along the way. And that's because our helper is the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. The Lord who will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we so need your help. We need your watchful care. We need your protection as we journey through life. And so we ask that you would indeed walk beside us as you have promised, that you would guide and direct us, that you would make our path straight and our footing sure. We ask too that you would keep us from wandering off the pathway. Help us to take advantage of the resources you've provided your people for our journey, our pilgrimage onto glory. We ask that you would bless us day by day such that we would walk in your strength, that we walk by your light, and that we would ever be following our gracious, loving Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.